speaking to you from inside DIHQ, and today it's looking more fortress-like than ever. It's packed on every side with great walls of rolled year planners. We've had a lot of deliveries in the last week, and so we now have in the office 14,000 planners, 5,000 daily info bags, the better part of 50,000 maps, 6,000 pens, and 2,000 pencils made from recycled newspaper. We can't wait for the freshers to arrive, so we can give some of these to you. This week sees the start of the new term at Brooks. Freshers' Fair is happening on Tuesday the 17th and Wednesday the 18th, and Daily Info will be there on the Wednesday. Come and find our stall and get your handy map, your year planner, Daily Info branded stationery, and a trendy cotton bag which is reusable and green. Not literally, it's actually white with a mini Daily Info sheet printed on it. It's good for shopping and laundry. And if you find they're really good for taking clubbing or any other vital part of student life, then send us a photo of you with your bag and you could win some fabulous prize. And by the way, freshers aren't the only new arrivals around here. Daily Info's own Sue has just had a baby girl. Hello, Cleo! I'm sure she'll be here presenting the podcast in no time at all. In this week's episode of Daily Info's own podcast, Oxcast, we're going to talk to the chaps charged with rolling the 14,000 planners and highlight some of the fabulous events you might want to catch up on in the coming fortnight. And some new courses starting up as well. You don't need to be a new student to learn stuff in Oxford. But first, our main feature, gluten-free life in Oxford. It can be hard enough starting out in a new city for anybody, but if you have dietary requirements, it can be even more daunting. Earlier, Emma and I talked about some of the establishments in Oxford you might find useful for buying supplies and for eating out, and about the process of being diagnosed with allergies, including the lovely skin challenge test. It is as much fun as it sounds.
Had a special diet?
Well, I gave up eating wheat completely about 16 or 17 years ago when I was doing my A-levels.
Must have been a bit stressful with A-levels as well.
It certainly was. I seem to remember eating a lot of chocolate, which didn't have wheat in, but probably wasn't the best thing to eat otherwise. But I grew up in a house where my parents had food allergies and things. In fact, we had allergy testing done when I was about 7, I think. Right. And that required taking a pint of blood out with a enormous needle, and
that's not nice. That's scarier than mine was.
It was pretty scary.
So you must have had to quickly learn like where you can buy free from foods. What would you recommend for someone like starting out on a gluten-free diet? Where are the best places?
Well, things have got a lot better.
Yeah.
So you've got two basic choices: the supermarkets or independent shops. As with any shopping decision.
Mm-hmm.
So supermarkets have changed a lot. I would say in the last sort of 5 years, really. And now there are huge ranges in most supermarkets. Gluten-free bread that's even palatable when it's not toasted. M&S do sausages which have a sort of pea starch instead of wheat starch. They don't make a big fuss about it, so you do have to read the labels quite carefully, but most of the sausages now are gluten-free in M&S, which is great. Lots of the other supermarkets are doing similar things. Various supermarkets, including M&S and I think the Sainsbury's in the centre of town, now stock ready-made gluten-free cake.
That's always very important.
Which is really good, particularly if you've got a birthday coming up really soon and you haven't got to grips with all the kitchens and so on yet. You might want to tip your friends off about the possibilities of cake. Having said that, the supermarkets in town are obviously much smaller than the out-of-town ones. If you don't have your own transport, you can actually get a bus to Kidlington, and Sainsbury's there is enormous, and it's kind of in the centre of the town.
It's sometimes the gluten-free section is tiny, isn't it?
And the Sainsbury's on Magdalen Street is now not so good. It was better, and it's had a refurbishment which has actually made it smaller and not so good. So. The Westgate Centre, that's probably a bit better, and the Tesco's on Cowley Road is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But you might still need to go to the more specialist shops for some of the more far out store cuts.
Okay, so where would you go for those?
Well, in the centre of town there's Holland and Barrett, and that's in the Golden Cross Arcade, which is the little courtyard between Corn Market Street and the Covered Market.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got Pizza Express in as well. But Holland and Barrett is just tucked away in a corner in there. And they do tamari, which is wheat-free soya sauce, which is very useful if you want to cook anything Chinesey. And dairy and sugar-free chocolate. And Holland and Barrett also do a good range of gluten-free biscuits. So when you're in need of comfort food in your revision essay crisis, whatever.
You can wean yourself off the chocolate a bit.
It's really useful. They're pretty expensive, but it's when there's nothing but a custard cream that will do, that's where you go. And on in East Oxford on Cowley Road, there's Uhuru, which is near the bottom of Cowley Road, and they do gluten-free pasta. They are amazing. They are the sort of ultimate hippie shop. They do everything vegan and vegetarian that you might want. Very good for savoury stuff. Sometimes they have snack foods like pakoras and cakes and things. And really good flapjack. And they're also really good at labelling stuff, which is a great relief to everybody. So, yeah, that's really useful.
Mm.
And if you're carnivorous, you might want to try the butchers in the Covent Market called David John, who usually have 4 or 5 flavours of gluten-free sausage.
That's pretty good. So going back to cake, that's a good place to be. Where are some good places to pick up snacks in town?
Well, in Friar's Entry, which is the funny little passageway off Magdalen Street, that's near the Odeon Cinema, there's Organic Cafe Deli.
Oh, yes.
And they're, I think, part Brazilian. And they do a whole range of gluten-free Cornish pasties, sausage rolls, hot and cold food, really well-labelled stuff, and a big range of cake. It's kind of a dangerous place to be. And if you've got one of those bus passes called The Key, then you get a 10% discount there, I think, as well.
Cool. Sounds good.
So where else? For snack food, near the back of the Covered Market, near the fish shop, there's a little place called Bolitas, and Bolitas are Brazilian cheese balls. I have to say I wasn't enthused about the name to start with, but they're actually kind of really little kind of warm bread parcels with cheese in
the middle. We tested them in the office, didn't we?
We did have a bit of a test. They also do a rather bizarre sort of chocolate and cheese, which sounds crazy, but I think it works rather well.
Yeah.
So they're really good for sort of food on the run. If you want something a bit more substantial, sort of for lunch places, there's the Vaults and Gardens Cafe, which is behind the church on the High Street. You actually get into it from Radcliffe Square, and they do wheat-free, vegetarian, hot foods. Quite big queues there, so you get there early for lunch, but they're a good place. Ricardo's sandwich shop in the back of the Covered Market deserve a special mention because they do jacket potatoes, and they will do any of their sandwich fillings in a jacket potato. So if you fancy sort of a cream cheese and smoked salmon bagel without the bagel, they will.
Oh, that's
oblige.
Really good.
They're really great people. Pret a manger on Covered Market, on the Cool Market Street, they have an allergy guide online, so you can check the menu before you go. And obviously, being a chain, sometimes it's quite nice to familiar food,
yeah.
You know what's what there.
Yeah.
And in East Oxford, the Magic Cafe, which is on Magdalen Road, which is completely different from Magdalen Street, and nowhere near Magdalen College or Magdalen Bridge. Anyway, don't ask.
Just to be completely not confusing at all.
Yeah.
Nice way Oxford has.
Yeah, they do recycle names, but. So, Magdalen Road, Magic Cafe does gluten-free, dairy-free, veggie, vegan. The chefs are there on site. It's a really hippie place. Very helpful. They will answer all your questions.
Cool. So there are actually like loads of places to go out for snacks and picking
lunch
up things
has
in the middle.
Lollies,
How about dinners? How about going out for like an evening meal? Is that difficult?
That's got a lot better too, actually. There are a couple of chain places who again have allergy menus that you can consult, which give you a whole range of different options. Zizi on George Street, I recommend them highly, Italian-y place. They're really well placed if you're going out to the cinema or theatre afterwards.
They're right opposite the audience,
and they're very quick. and Wagamama, which is on Market Street, off Corn Market, and they're more sort of Asian food, noodles and stuff.
Yeah.
They're very helpful and informative. In terms of sort of really grand meals, Daily Info favourite is Moya on St Clements, where the cuisine, I think, is Slovak, which nobody knows anything about. Lots
I always forget what the cuisine, I end up saying,
goulash. So there is goulash, but they also do sort of confit de canard and all sorts of other things. They're brilliant people, really helpful, really friendly, chefs on site. I would say in general the more independent small places are much better because they know what they've put in stuff. Obviously big chains sometimes kind of the menus are kind of set elsewhere. Small independent places they do know. Gluten-free pasta is now available in quite a lot of places. So La Cucina on St Clement's do a whole range of things. They can recommend which sauces are gluten-free.
Cool.
They don't say anywhere that they do gluten-free pasta or things, so you have to know and ask them.
Yeah.
And Mamma Mia has two different venues, one on Walton Street in Jericho, one on South Parade up in Summertown, and they do gluten-free pasta. There is also gluten-free pizza available in Oxford, which is very rare.
Wow.
So way up the Cowley Road is Atomic Pizza, and they have a sister venue called Atomic Burger, who do gluten-free burgers and buns.
Another Daily Info favourite.
Another Daily Info favourite. They do recommend booking because those do sell out, but yeah, they're pretty helpful even at the last minute, I found. Indian food, good for wheat-free dining. My favourite Indian place is G. Saheb on North Parade. They have a crazy green dish called Handi Lassis. I don't know what's in it, but it's delicious. yeah, they're helpful people. And there are lots of good curry places on Cowley Road. And now Nepalese places are springing up as well, so that's good.
Cool.
So there are still the odd restaurant here and there which will tell you that risotto isn't gluten-free because it has rice in. Mm. But thank goodness they are fewer and farther between. And hopefully all the people who are... who eat free from foods in Oxford will already have been into most of the restaurants and laughed at them.
And corrected them, yeah. So you mentioned like it got a lot better. What was it like in college?
Well, my experience of college food was pretty appalling. And I think they were quite unusually bad even for 15 years ago. But things have definitely got better. My sister was at Oxford about 4 years after me and she found it a lot better and a lot more helpful.
Cool.
So hopefully these days you won't have any problems, but if you do, if you find they're still stuck in the dark ages, do stick up for yourself. I would recommend talking to your warden or principal or master or head of your college or hall, talking to the chef directly and discussing what they can do and what you need to avoid. There should be welfare reps in your JCR or student union who can stick up for you and be on your side. And do talk to your doctor as well, because if it's a health issue, obviously it's a very serious thing if they get it wrong. I don't know so much about the setup in Brooks, but the student union have an advice centre that I think you can drop into, so I would start there. They also have a medical centre on site.
Cool. Yeah. So it's very important just to stand up for being able to eat what you can.
It makes a big difference to how well you can study.
Yeah.
You come in paying to poison yourself or... You know, people not watching out for that is just wrong. And you have every right to eat food that suits you, whether it's for health reasons, religious, ethical or personal reasons.
Absolutely. And the info is out there, isn't it?
It is. And Daily Info have a whole feature page about gluten-free living, particularly designed for either people who've just been diagnosed newly or let's say you've just found a lovely new boyfriend or girlfriend who doesn't eat things and you're a bit stuck as to what to feed them. So anybody who needs advice about that, there is definitely.
I did recently make a cake for my friend who can't eat gluten or much fat or dairy. I called it grit cake. It was mainly seeds and nuts and dried fruit held together with honey. It was actually quite nice. I was a bit afraid that, because it looked like a cake, like in the Flandish that I made it in, but I was a bit afraid that as soon as I cut it, it would sort of revert to its natural state, which was grit. But apparently it did come out in slices, so it was a success.
Cool, well, happy experimenting to everybody. If you want to apply to Daily Info for the 5-minute chocolate mug cake recipe, which can be done in the microwave, then do let us know, we'll send that to you.
And what do you do if you suspect you're allergic to something?
So early stages, if you think that food is making you ill, it's a bit of a kind of mind shift that all the things that people put out there as the most healthy, let's say wheat bran, sometimes they're poison instead. So I would recommend, first off, keeping a food diary. So that's a diary of everything you eat and how you felt afterwards, and you begin to see patterns emerging there. Once you've got something you think you've identified as possibly the likely culprit, and let's face it, wheat, gluten and dairy are the most likely to be doing you ill, then you can try an elimination diet, which is where you cut out one food for, let's say, a fortnight, and see if you feel better. And the doctors don't particularly recommend you doing this They're not that keen on self-diagnosis because you have to be very careful that you're not cutting out one nutrient group altogether. So if you're cutting out dairy, you need to get your calcium from somewhere. Soya milk is a very good alternative because they put extra calcium in that. So you need to be careful that your diet is still balanced, that you're not missing out on nutrients. But it is the best way to test if the thing that you think is making you ill is really the culprit. And that gives you information that you can then take to your doctor and they can arrange formal allergy testing. And indeed, you know more about this than I do. You've gone through it more recently. What sort of testing did you have done?
So mine was because I had a really dramatic allergic reaction earlier in the year where basically one of my legs and my hands turned into these sort of monster things. We decided it was leprosy after a couple of days, but it was sort of that level of drama. It was dramatic enough, in fact, that my doctor did make an appointment for me to have allergy testing, which I think is quite difficult to slot in. They were sort of talking months in advance. So
did they rush you onto the urgent list?
Yeah, I think I was on one of the more urgent lists, and you had to wait like a few weeks. So if you want to get allergy testing, then I guess my first bit of advice would be exaggerate how bad it is. Or how much discomfort you're in, and then maybe you'll get it earlier. So I went in, and because it was a skin thing, they decided it was sort of contact dermatitis, so something I'd come into contact with.
Did you have suspicions as to what that might be?
Yes, I did. There was a hand cream that I'd used that I hadn't used before a couple of days before, so I took that in, and there were a couple, so I took those in. And then what they do is they put loads of little patches on your back, like a lot more than I thought. It was like maybe sort of 10 lots of 12 or something. It was like lots of things. You saw it, didn't you? So
like a patchwork grid.
And it makes you feel like one of those Star Trek aliens with sort of growths on you. And it's also a little uncomfortable because you can't really move your back, and it's weird how much you actually move your back. You don't realise, like when you're just sitting, you kind of squirm a bit, but like you have to sort of stay really still and like, oh, otherwise it's going to come off. So they put that on the Monday. You have to go in Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and then you go back in on Wednesday and they take it off and like measure you on a scale of 1 to 5 on each one as to how allergic you are to the different things. And it's all like common things you'll come into contact with, and I went off the scale on the one thing I was allergic to. I was very proud of it. The nurse didn't really know what to do. And then you go back on Friday to see whether you've got any worse or better or whatever, and then they tell you what you're allergic to, or say that they kind of don't know it still. because it turns out I was allergic to the hand cream that I'd used, but it has a lot of ingredients in it, so I came back to the office and we were speculating.
You can't have a shower for a whole week then when you've got these plasters.
Well, I had half showers. You can't get your back wet, so I kind of had very tentative showers where I washed the front of me.
It's a good thing you know it's doing you good in the end, isn't
yes.
it? Okay, so where did all that happen?
I went to the Churchill. That's where the dermatology department is.
Okay, and that's up in Headington, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Cool. You can get the bus.
Okie doke, and so they were able to help you in the end?
Yeah, I have to go back and do it again with more stuff to work out, but I think it is worth it. Like, if you can find the one thing, the one unpronounceable thing that you're allergic to, then it must be useful in the end. I mean, at least I now know that not to use that particular brand of hand cream.
Jolly good.
Which looks fairly innocuous, so I guess if you are really allergic to something, don't rule out, like, you know, the gentle hand exfoliating thing which says it's going to do the world of good.
Yes, all the
things
that says healthy on the front.
Yes.
Yeah, I think with testing for celiac disease, they're very keen on that because celiac disease can lead to things like osteoporosis.
Oh, gosh, yes.
It's not just about your diet and
your
stomach.
It's not just how you feel. It can actually do long-term damage.
Yeah, it can. And I think with that one, you do have to eat wheat and so on for a bit to have the antibodies in your system. But it's not too painful, I think, these days. Brilliant. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Planners arrive in our office flat packed and are then folded into quarters for posting or rolled up in order to be handed out, all by hand, by our lovely team of annual media cylindrification engineers. They have to live in the basement and we feed them on donuts. This year our team consists of David, Fred, Hugh and Spencer, and we extracted David and Fred from their duties to talk to us about their forced labour.
David, how old were you when you started at Daily Info? Because you've been here a while.
I think I was 15. Yeah. So I keep coming back, 5 years on.
Why is that?
Well, no, the office is actually a really nice office to work in. Everyone's very pleasant. There's some delicious food in the fridge, you know, the kind of organic hummus woven from the hair of New Zealand Maori children. It's delicious. And yeah, it's just a really pleasant place to work.
Fred, would you agree with that? I think this is your first year here?
Yeah. I am actually come all the way from London just to work here. Heard so many great things about
migrant labour.
exactly. Heard so many great things about the office, and they're all true.
So how many planets would you say you've rolled so far this year?
6,000 or 7,000.
6,000 or 7,000,
like,
yeah.
Kind of ballpark.
Okay.
Dave and I probably managed most.
Poor Hugh, who is not here to defend himself. How have you established the hierarchy in this rolling partnership?
It's mostly based on skill. And from a very early point in the rolling days, it was very clear that Dave and I were, yeah, we were gifted.
We established this scientifically through a rolling Olympics, complete with a number of different events. There were sprints of both 5 and 10 roll distances. There were relays. Let it be known, I was undefeated in the sprints. We should make that clear. Followed by a 50 roll marathon, which was quite tactical, because not only do you have to roll them, but you had to judge the size right so you could fit them all in your one box, which you were allowed for the marathon.
Okay. No more than one box.
No more than one box.
Crumbs. Okay, this does sound much more scientific than I'd imagined. I think upstairs we were very unaware of all this excitement was going on down here. So, will you be back next year?
I hope so.
As a graduate, yes.
Oh.
I'll be doing a Daily Info rolling internship.
Well, we'll see if we can get some more planners to keep you going for a whole year next year.
Fantastic.
If you want your own hand-rolled year planner, or indeed hand-quartered, just email info@dailyinfo.co.uk and send us your postal address. Or you could order enough for your household, your office, your department. We deliver boxes of up to about 100 within the Ring Road, and we can post year planners free within Oxfordshire. If you're outside Oxfordshire, you can order one and they're £2. When you receive your year planner, pause for just a moment to admire its craftsmanship. So, what's going on in the next fortnight? As ever in Oxford, there's an eclectic mix. So, this weekend, on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th, there's a Keeping It Local fair in Oxford Castle Quarter, and that's during the daytime those days. So you can find out about local producers and suppliers in the area. On Saturday the 15th as well, you can go to Binsey Village Fete. There's lots of Alice in Wonderland themed activities, such as fancy dress, and you can see the treacle well. And Binsey is a very lovely spot if you don't know it already. On Sunday the 16th, there's a marimba concert, and that's in St John the Evangelist Church on Iffley Road. Sandy Toxvig is paying a visit to Oxford. She'll be here on Sunday the 23rd, and she's at the New Theatre. Before then, we've got a music festival, mini festival in one evening called Wheatstock. They're promising peace, music and cake. That's on Tuesday the 18th, and it's at the Wheat Sheaf, which is down a little alleyway off the High Street. As well as cake, this features Daily Info's own gig expert, Richard Brotherton. There are also some courses coming up. A novel writing course with Megan Kerr, which I thoroughly recommend, as do other people. You can see some very good reviews of that on Daily Info. Her new course starts on the 4th of October. And if you're interested in writing a novel, but you'd like some help building the world of the novel, structuring the plot and so on, her workshops are great fun and very useful. Alternatively, you can spend an afternoon learning how to forage, using ancient knowledge to find food even in central Oxford's green spaces. That's on Saturday the 29th of September. And if you're young and inspired by the Olympic gymnasts, then you might be interested in the rhythmic gymnastics training from Dance GZ. That happens around Headington and East Oxford, and this term's classes start in mid-September. There's more info on those from dancegz.co.uk or indeed from Daily Info's events section. That's it for this week's Oxcast. We hope you have a nice fortnight. Don't forget to be nice to strangers, harvest your late tomatoes, request a Daily Info map or year planner, live long and prosper, and we'll see you next time.